Central Electoral Commission, after all the complaints about the elections in Mostar, decided that to send that to the Supreme Court, and Bosnia-Herzegovina decided not to ask for recounting all the votes in Mostar, even though at every single place that they reviewed, they found improper tallies of the votes. So it is clear that it was happening, sometimes flagrantly so. It is also clear from those recounts that Platform for Progress was probably the only one that everybody was taking away from the votes. 10 votes here, 20 over there, or whatever. But in the end, if you count all the 150 places, the difference would be in at least one seat in the city council, which is mind-boggling that the court would say there's not enough evidence that something was happening, which is just another testament that this is a political, that the legal system is too much under the political influence of the ruling parties. It is hard to manage things when you're away, even though many things are happening electronically. It's still the presence counter matters. And we are simply going through the process of now doing the best we can in under those circumstances. Another thing that is important is the convention, annual convention, that needs to or will have as the major task taking on the bylaws, changes to the bylaws, and hopefully adopting it, because it's going to allow us to act more efficiently and effectively. And so many meetings are happening as we speak, even today, the presidency going over the draft of the bylaws that we would like to agree upon and then send it to the delegates ahead of time, and we'll see. Perhaps the whole membership or all of the members, but at the same time, given the situation that we are in, given the some of them, and I don't know how many of them are implants from other parties or molds, they don't know what kind of discussion they can turn their conversation into. And you don't know if Sicily would not be well intended, and then could be a reason to cause stir and could cause commotion. And that, so I don't really know whether we will see whether it's going to be to everybody or just to delegates, who will then have 5 days, hopefully at least 5 days, to review everything and then suggest changes before the convention that we could be put into, and then the voting actually at the convention on in discussion. So that is another big thing that is happening right now. And of course, I was hoping that since I came to the States, that I would be able to state to start the semester in person and teaching. I teach a couple of courses, and ain't gonna happen because
delayed.
Yeah, they delayed the based on the I think city or county is it ordinance or regulation, I don't know what it is, that nothing should start until sometime in February in terms of in-person gatherings. I'll end up being teaching it online, even though I'm right here in Charlotte.
In terms of Mostar, I mean, does it get beyond a point of getting frustrated? when you hear the news about these types of things? I mean, even taking it to the Supreme Court, does that show how ingrained the nationalist parties are within the system around the country?
It certainly gives you a reason to pause and think about the strategy for change, because if the court is in their pockets, then what are those mechanisms of last resort or levers or venues? Look at what happened in the United States. And President Trump then argued in court the case that there was fraud of some sort. Couldn't provide any evidence. The court decided it ain't so, and the process proceeded, right? The Congress in the end ratified the results. Here we provide evidence, clear, recounted, and still nothing. Basically, imagine what would have happened in the United States had a court really been just under the influence of President Trump or whoever, and regardless of the evidence, would simply say, yeah, that is the case. What would the people of the United States do if they felt that there is no way to change anything? And in a way that is in line with democratic society. And you saw, even when they were ratifying the results, imagine if there were not January 6th, how, in what way would the Republican Party vote? I don't even know, because at that time, they were just under such a tremendous influence of President Trump, and because of the next elections and the voters' position, would the average citizen think differently about the country in which somebody can just invalidate their voice and vote and say, oh, it ain't so, it is, as we say, it is. You suddenly have a different country in which there's no hope. It's just going in a certain direction because somebody decided it's going to happen no matter what. And that's what you have in Bosnia. You feel like you don't matter. You don't count. It doesn't matter. They have all the levers of power, finance, money, influence, and you're trying to break that. So that's what it feels like, that decision is of the court that basically said everything was just fine. It basically said, wait a second, this is a different fight. So a lot of things for us to ponder on and about, to think about for the elections in 22. It will influence the way we think about our campaign and the message and a position. Yeah.
Well, and I know I've asked it before, but whose attention can this be brought to? Is there any entity on the outside that can monitor this somehow and bring attention to it to try to address it, or no?
Well, the obvious answer would be the international community. By the international community knows all about this. They know even more than the Bosnian citizens do. But it is them, they decided to broker a deal between two nationalist parties to set the rules for the elections in Mostar. So, honestly, the only relevant factor in changing the course of the country in the end is the people of Bosnia-Herzegovina. That part of it that is aware of its responsibility, aware of its what is at stake, aware of the fact that this cannot be it. There is no way we can get to a functioning country like this. And those who are enlightened regarding the importance of every vote, every person's opinion, every person's responsibility, whoever they or we are, regardless of the ethnic membership, religious affiliation, whatever, this is about human aspect of something. And I think there are people in the country who think like this. There are many more than we believe, but they are pushed completely into the background and their voices are not being heard, and they're being prosecuted for that, for their opinion, for their dissent, and therefore they are quiet. But it is clear that that concept of it is not about ethnic affiliations or memberships, or it's not about religion, it's not about your ethnicity, it's not about your lifestyle, it's about your life in the country. And we have to get to the place of one person, one vote. We have to. Right now, it's based on the ethnicity. And as long as it is like that, we will not see the end of the tunnel. The nationalists are using the ethnic principle as the deciding principle, because that allows them to be in power. Their argument against one person, one vote is that, oh, majority will overrule us. That's democracy, and it's never long-term. Democracy works against itself. It always works in the long run, in the interest of the country, of the whole, making it a better place for everybody else. Yes, special provisions have to put in place so that minorities have the vote, have the say, but that can be easily done with two-third, for example, vote being required for the most important decisions in the country that affect everybody's well-being. Sure. So there is no majority. In the U.S. Senate, it's like that. In the U.S. Congress, for certain decisions, like to overrule the veto of the president, you need to have two-thirds or whatever. There are ways of doing it. So it is a big battle now between nationalism and I don't know what the other term is. In Bosnia is građanski, which is a civic oriented or citizen oriented rather than group. It's a person as opposed to a group. Anyway.
The change in the administration in the U.S. help at all?
I'm convinced, and I'm looking forward to President Biden's influence in the region and in Europe and in the world. Not sure that President Trump actually knew where Bosnia was, maybe. But to his credit, I don't think he touched the professionals in the State Department. He let them be and do their policy because he didn't care that much for the overall schema or for the West Balkan or region in the overall schema of world politics. But President Biden has been personally involved through the ending the war in Bosnia and the decisions afterwards. And I think he will want to protect the legacy of one of the greatest successes of the U.S. international policy. And people believe President Biden. They love his integrity. The U.S. has always been seen as the most important and most respected of world powers. And I think that he's going to make a tremendous difference. I don't think that he's going to have favorites. He will want to have a just and efficient system in place in the whole region, not just Bosnia and Herzegovina. But at least certainly have somebody who cares about the moral values, so the ethics, the justice, in addition to interest, particular interests of the country, where what people love about the United States is that we believe that, and I am obviously a U.S. citizen, but people believe that U.S. cares about, obviously, its own interests, but also it takes justice as one of its interests, promotion of it throughout the world, human rights. And that is what gives it a moral right and advantage when it comes to comparison with anybody else, any other superpower or power for that matter. We talked about internal struggles, and obviously they will continue for quite some time because these forces never stop once they start, and it's clear we have internal people who are with us but clearly sent by others, and so that's gonna be happening for quite a while, and we are trying to figure out how to deal with it and manage it, go through our processes, not succumb to pressure. Also learning how to better communicate with our members who need to be communicated with, because a lot of time we just assume that people know or see things, but it's not true because they're getting information from various sources. And especially in Bosnia, the small talk matters. People talk on the phone, emails, text messages, they Viber with each other. And you realize that you cannot leave that space not covered, at least by us. And so we have decided to do a lot of direct conversations. We already did one last Thursday. We had a Zoom conversation with anybody who wanted to get on it, and then we also stream live that conversation so that any member or non-member or whoever could ask questions. There are some groups that would like to have closed conversation, yes, Zoom, but not Facebook Live. We'll do that as well. We will have to work with our local organizations, regional organizations. We'll offer similar things, Zoom meetings. But also, we need to make that practice that there are regular meetings at the level of their responsibility, so that municipality talks to the members at the level of the municipality, the same thing in the region. They have the information from the presidency or the governing board actually gets conveyed to everybody, instead of the presidency being perceived as that black box that makes all the decisions and we don't know much about it. So this turmoil actually taught us a really important lesson about communication, importance of communication, proper communication. And as long as people have all the information, it's up to them to make up their mind, you know, who to trust and how to get engaged. And we need also to engage or give a chance to everybody to engage in the process of building the movement, the political party, the program, to build on the idea. So it doesn't seem like it's somebody else's. It has to feel that it is theirs, because it is theirs. It is not something that we just want to imprint on anybody else and say, this is it. So we are going through that, and we'll come out stronger. And the good thing is also that everybody within the platform understands that this is happening, including the members of the presidency, including the regional organizations, including our members, so that they can actually help in that process as well. What I like is that it is obvious that it's, as I may have mentioned already, it is something that's worth fighting for. It is establishing itself as an organization rather than one person. And it is important for us to establish the right human resources policy and build a profile of people who can carry on the idea and improve upon it and make it even operationally better, or philosophically better, conceptually better, so that we're building this DNA of the organization that can secure its long-term success, regardless of my presence or not. And so I think that is also something that is a good outcome of this, you know, that don't ever waste a crisis as an opportunity to build a better organization. That's what we will do, and that's what we're doing now.
What kind of questions are you getting as you do this from people? What are the concerns, and what are people saying?
Well, for example, in the diaspora, people are saying, why don't we have a direct communication with a regional board of the region diaspora? They're saying, nobody ever asked me anything. I don't have a way to communicate, to find out. The question is, if there is a representative of diaspora on the presidency of platform with 15 members, two of which are representing diaspora, how come they never ask me what I think about an issue? They are making decisions for us. We are not participating. Now, there are conventions that happen at that level, at the regional level as well. There's a board, the regional board, that includes representatives from all the country, from all the countries. It simply means that there is no direct communication between the representatives on the regional board and the members. That means they have to have their Zoom meetings, for example, with everybody. Perhaps they have to send an email to everybody. Here's what we are talking about. What do you think about a particular issue? You know, there is no discussion with the representation. Well, let's talk about the U.S. Congress. How do congressmen, women, senators talk to the population that elected them? You know, this is the same as the population basically says, wait a second, you're just passing a bill, voting on the bill in the Congress, in the Senate, in the House, but you didn't ask me what I think. So that's democracy. You know, you elect somebody, you trust them with their judgment, but you can't. You cannot simply say, ask me every time. But the Bosnians say, ask me every time, tell me at least. But it's okay. Once you know that, it is okay to issue, would be better to issue a monthly or weekly an email saying, here are the issues that are going to be discussed at the presidency. Here are the topics, for example, so that you know. Or here's what was decided on at the last meeting that pertains to diaspora. Or I'm just talking about diaspora as an example, because that's somebody asked. But the same thing is for any other region. Here's what happened at the presidency that might affect anybody in the region. We don't have that. habit. I cannot say that any other party has it either, but we are somehow more responsive to people, and people generally want to be engaged. And I think that's a good thing. They would like to know, to be engaged, to say what they have to say, so that at least those who are representing them have that in mind. But that's not how normally democracy works, but it's something that we need to take into consideration, because people have generally sometimes good ideas.